Hello, and welcome to the podcast, Equipped to March, with WVU Chi Alpha. The hope of this podcast is to equip small groups with sound biblical teachings on God and how to walk with Him, and to equip the small group leader with the tools to lead as God has called them. We pray you are equipped and encouraged by this podcast in order that you can march well for our King on the college campus. Now, please welcome our hosts.
Okay. Hey, welcome back to Equipped to March podcast. We're excited to be with you guys today, and we have a very special guest with us. What's your name?
I'm Carly.
Carly. Carly is a small group leader with us, and we also have...
I'm Grace.
Grace is back again. We got Christopher and me, and we're excited to do this. So today, we're talking about humility, right? So when you guys think of humility, what comes to mind?
The sober sense of like reality, like who I am and who God is, and like, yeah, there's easy like to have this view of myself that's wrong, or like this view of God that's wrong, but like what is like real truth? Yeah.
What do you mean by a sober sense of reality? That's an awesome statement.
Just like, yeah, like what is like really true? Like not biased by like opinions, but what is like real fact? Like this is who God is, like based on like His word, and this is like who I am, like based on like who He says I am.
Yeah, that's awesome. Really, really good.
Yeah, I think of just like putting others before yourself and like seeing others rightly with that sober sense of reality, like what do they need, and seeing how you can be of service to them, just like having a servant heart instead of putting yourself first.
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah, like the other context that sober is used in is like drunk or sober,
right,
and
yeah.
You know, if you're drunk, then like a lot of people who are drunk do like a lot of crazy stuff that like you wouldn't do normally if you saw things rightly.
Yeah.
Or if you were like kind of like living in reality.
Yeah.
You kind of like, yeah. And so, but when you're like sober minded, it's like, oh, he's thinking clearly. Mm-hmm. And so, when you're like have a sober sense of reality with like, you know, your identity or just like the world in general, it puts things like basically like into correct perspective.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, cause there's so many things that you can like, I feel like it is a beast to get there entirely. You know, just whether it's like with yourself or your culture versus other cultures or, you know, different things, it takes effort to like have like a right view of like life in general, especially with a ton of stuff like that. You know, it's very easy to like believe something is true.
Yeah.
Today.
Just
based off of what someone says.
Yeah. And I think this is like a great, I guess, like, way to go is reality. Like everyone said reality. So what do you mean? Like, yeah, it is hard to figure out what that is. And so like how do we discern, how do we figure out what reality really is when everyone's saying contradictory? So, you know what I'm saying? Like, okay, go outside, ask three people the same question, one answer. It's not like, oh, that ties into this. It's literally contradictory. Mm-hmm. And so what do we do with that? How do we find reality? How does humility tie into that?
I think the easiest way to like find reality is like just to open your Bible and who does God say I am? Mm-hmm. Like I'm a child of God, so like that is like first and foremost like my identity. And so makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. That's good.
No, I agree completely. That's what I was thinking too. I was like, just this is reality right here. Like,
yes.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think like, I don't know. It's like, if I put on drunk goggles, going back to the drunk example.
Beer goggles.
Beer goggles. and I like started walking, I wouldn't see reality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would be seeing through this like like intoxicated lens.
Yeah, that's right.
And so just because like what was in front of me, like made me see a certain way that did, that doesn't mean that that actually was reality.
Yeah.
And so right. I think it's actually first acknowledging, that there is something real.
Yes. Yes.
And it doesn't depend on what I believe, mm-hmm. or what I think is right. real. Mm-hmm. Because yeah, there's so many things that like I can be told is real. But like that doesn't like necessitate that it is. And I guess just like, I don't know, one of those like kind of like truths that I believe like is like, you know, kind of a staple of reality is, just this simple phrase, God is God and I am not.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's a ton of different beliefs as to whether or not God exists.
Right.
And there's a ton of beliefs as to if God exists, what this God is like.
Yes.
And so, you know, the Bible talks about, you know, there being one God and him being a certain way. And so if what the Bible says is true about that God, and the God, then like that has implications on my life. Mm-hmm. And so what you two guys said about, you know, like looking to the Bible for reality, when I read the Bible, I start to build this understanding of how life is,
yeah.
And then how that affects my life in relation to, first of all, God, but second of all, like both myself and others,
yeah.
is pretty crazy, because if God is who the Bible says he is, then that is like, I think the first big step into like seeing life rightly.
Yeah. That's a good thing. Yeah. Do y'all have anything else on that?
I agree with what you said earlier. Like, I think humility is a practice. Like, it just doesn't, yeah. you don't wake up one day and I'm humble forever now. Yeah. Like, you have to consciously choose to see people how God sees them, to see yourself how God sees you.
Yeah.
And then it'll become natural. But yeah. like, for a while, it's just that conscious choice.
Yeah.
And then.
Yeah, yeah, like, that's really good.
Yeah, the discipline of it. Mm-hmm. And it's not just like. Yeah, it doesn't just come, but it's like something you fight for.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's good. We were saying like humility, it's not a personality trait. Remember, like, yeah. like none of the things, honestly, like if whatever it is, like your heart is wicked because of sin, like you are a rebellious sinner. And so I'm not starting out on the right foot. Like, I'm actually starting out like really not good. And so for me to say that like something in my personality is at least a discipline, like there can be humble things and there can be, you know, we're made in the image of God. And so there are godly things that we kind of can't help but to, exude, but really I think humility or any discipline, you know, prayer or, whatever discipline you can think of, generosity, it's typically not just something that I'm like, you know, like, right. especially with motive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the, you know, just this phrase that I don't know if we've said it before on the podcast, but thoughts lead to actions, which right. lead to habits, which lead to character, and that leads to your destiny. And so if I have a right view of God and myself and others,
yeah.
Like I have to intentionally think rightly.
Yes.
You know, like
yes.
I'm not going to accidentally think rightly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like this intentional thought that comes first, and then I'm going to start like treating the Lord,
yeah.
you know, rightly and treating myself and others rightly. And then it's going to be like a part of my habit and my character.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, maybe one day I'll be, you know, hopefully I'm more humble today than I was yesterday,
right.
at least 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And I'm growing in humility.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And hopefully I'll be more humble 10 years from now than I am today. And so I think it can be a part of who you are, but it starts with me seeing things rightly and choosing to see things rightly and choosing to act in accordance with that.
Yeah, that's a great point. I think even as we're like talking about humility, that idea of reality is such an important factor, you know, like you said, sober sense of reality. Well, okay, sober, kind of understand that. Maybe, maybe not. Reality, though, like, it kind of takes humility to even admit that there is a reality.
Right, yeah.
Because that honestly says, you know, you might be wrong, okay? But that also, for me to have a sober sense of reality, is for me to say, I might be wrong. Mm-hmm. And I think that is, like, that is what we're talking about when it comes to, like, true humility. Yeah, growing, or like you said, discipline in our life is to say, okay, there has to be a reality. You have to admit that. Like, if you don't, this is the deal. If you don't admit that stuff, you live in fantasy land.
Right.
And I mean, yeah, we've seen people like that. Yeah, I mean, on campus, there are people that you can walk by and you're like, that person is not in touch with reality. Like, yeah. I wouldn't necessarily think to say they're not a humble person, but truly they're not. You know, they're walking around. You know what I'm talking about. So, yeah. I'm not going to make an example.
But. Well, just like, I mean, I don't know, even like in a situation probably most people have been in is if you have people, if you have friends, then most likely one of those friends probably has made you angry at one point. Or, you know, there was a miscommunication. And so 7 years ago, me and Charles moved up here to help start Chi Alpha, and we had to start to learn how to be friends.
Yeah.
And there were times during that learning how to be friends where I basically had to choose trust over suspicion, because he would say something or act a certain way where I had the opportunity to think Charles hates me. Or Charles is out to get me. Or, you know, like, Charles is X way.
Yeah.
And I could have believed that stuff, you know. But it was regardless of what I believed or how I felt or what I thought, there was something that was true.
Yes, yeah.
And, you know, 99 times out of 100... or 100 out of 100.
probably not.
Charles was not in the wrong, and it was just in my mind that I thought something was true. Mm-hmm. And it took humility for me to say, no, that probably isn't true. But for the time being, this like idea that I had of you was like, was real to me.
Yeah, right.
You know,
yeah.
But like, that didn't mean that it was like, it was true, and it probably wasn't.
Yes.
But I had to acknowledge I am probably wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
About
or at least have that mindset.
Right. I could be wrong, and this may not be, my feelings aren't necessarily the test of truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that is like, in terms of like having a sober sense of reality, our feelings are something that we have to like intentionally conquer, and not allow to be like the dictator of what absolutely. We believe to be true.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I mean, that's self-control. When we talk about self-control as a fruit of the spirit, and I always tripped up like, well, how is self-control fruit of the spirit, you know? But it really is. And I think like something with that is humility is one for you to think that way. But yeah, I mean, it's not 99%. It's like 40% probably. Like, you're a great friend and gracious, but like also for me to understand humility and say, okay, I care about what you have to say so much so that I may like think that my reality is also wrong. And so like for that to kind of be two humble people, two people practicing humility,
right, yeah.
is a friendship,
yeah.
You know, and that really is like, you can't have one-sided. It's not real. It's not reality. And yeah, man, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like humility is kind of like a glue of friendship.
Yeah.
Like it keeps like a friendship like strong together. I mean, like we talked about integration point, like being Jesus. And so like that, like, of course, like is like number one in a friendship. But if like people like aren't going to like fight in humility for the friendship, like you guys talked about, like how you like were like willing to see like good things like in Charles and not like believe like lies, like that really like is what holds like relationships together, and like all throughout the Bible, like I feel like like humility and like friendship is just talked about. It's really sweet.
Yeah, I was thinking about I read this A.W. Tozer article this morning, and he said nearness, basically nearness equals likeness. And so when you don't feel like you're near to God, that's dumb. He said, God is so, he's a spirit. And so there's no like physical distance between me and God.
All right.
And so he basically said, God is so near. It's like an ocean. It's like the ocean that fills the bucket that it's in. So like a bucket's in the ocean, God's in the bucket, but it's also surrounding the bucket. Right, yeah. So there's no like distance at all. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm full of God. No, I'm filled with God and God's all around me. And right, yeah. So basically what he was saying is nearness equals likeness. Like for us to be humble, is for us to actually be like God. So these godly characteristics in our life, and then when you have these godly characteristics in your life, then you feel near to Him, mm-hmm. or you actually are near to Him because you're near to His heart.
Yeah.
But when you have ungodly, so you know, pride, selfishness, whatever, then you're far from God. Truly, yeah. Not in distance. He's still surrounding you. He still loves you, but you will not have a relationship. Like if we chose to be pride. All right. If we chose to be proud, then our friendship would be broken, and there really would be, even if we were roommates, we would be very, very distant because our likeness was not there.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was just like really kind of struck by that humility. And this is a big deal, especially when you're beginning to walk with God. Humility is, I don't want to say this, but if you can kind of correct me, it's almost as if it's a requirement to be near to God. And what I mean by that is like, without it, you just can't be like, you can't be close to God without humility.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if he requires it, but I mean, I think about this verse, it's scary. Gospel of Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 says, Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So step one,
yeah,
be humble.
Yeah.
That's why you played that song earlier. I just realized that. Good old Kendi. But
yeah,
I was like, why are you playing this?
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I mean, another verse I was thinking about, or something that Jesus told his disciples often was both deny yourself, like mm-hmm. what you just read, but also how many times the disciples were like having this like tug of war or like, you know, ladder climbing competition where they're like asking Jesus like, hey, yeah. can I be at the top with you?
Yeah.
You know, or like, hey, can I sit next to you in your kingdom? Right. Which is a, you know, in a kingdom is a very special place, you know,
yeah.
the king can grant. And so how many times he said, you know, if any of you want to be first, you have to be last.
Yeah, that's right.
And so Jesus is telling his disciples, if you want to be with me, you got to like be a servant. If mm-hmm. you want to be with me, if you want to be exalted, then you have to humble yourself.
Yeah.
And so I think you're right. I don't think it's like wrong to say that you have to, whether or not you want to use the word requirement, it's like,
yeah.
you have to, you're not going to be close to Jesus if you choose to like exalt yourself.
Right.
Yeah. And that's just, Jesus said it himself. And so, I think it is a reality for like being close to God. You've got to be humble.
Yeah. And you have to see, you have to believe there's a reality, because otherwise, yeah. why would you, I'm God. Why not? You know? Yeah.
Yeah. And so it was making me think of this verse in Philippians 2, starting like yeah. with verse 5. It says, your attitude should be the same as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. So like, yeah, like as a Christian, like we're supposed to look like Jesus.
Yeah,
and so
that's right.
He like being fully God and fully man, like chose to be humble. Like God came to serve, like, and like the other verse that says like God came to like, Jesus came to like to serve and not be served. Like, like all throughout like the gospels, we see how Jesus like served people. Like he humbled himself. And so if we really like want to be followers of Jesus, like, and look like him, like we have to be humble.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not, reality says it, you can't not. Yeah. Yeah. That's really good.
That makes me think of like Jesus did come to serve and of him washing the disciples' feet.
Oh yeah.
And that's just like, I don't want to wash my friend's feet. Like, I don't know where you've been, but like, that's what we need to do. And in John 13, verse 3 and 4, it says, Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table and washed his disciples' feet. And that just like blows my mind because he knew that his authority wasn't from himself.
Yeah.
And he knew that like, it came from God alone. Yeah. And so like everything we have comes from God and he gives us the gift of humility. Like he teaches us, Jesus teaches us how to do it. He leads by example with that. And so we should lead by example with others in the gift of humility.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. How do you do that?
It can be like anything. Like I was telling you guys, it doesn't have to be the big things. Like,
that's really good.
If you have an extra $5 in your wallet and you see a muffin at Starbucks, you could get your friend the extra muffin.
Yeah.
And it takes less than $5 out of your wallet and 5 minutes out of your day.
Yeah.
And like just the little things, like putting, seeing what someone else needs and putting their needs before your own.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. Like humility and like the little things. I remember when I was in small group, I asked my small group leader, like, how do you like be humble? Like, how do you like practice this? And she like told me this like super simple thing to do. And I think about it all the time. Like whenever you go to like a public restroom, don't just like go to the handicap bathroom and so you get the nice big stall. Like, like let somebody else use it or like don't just go to the first one, so the easiest one for people to walk into. So every time I go to a public restroom, I'm like, okay, which stall am I going to pick?
Like, just which is the like, most humble.
Yeah, like just the simple little things of like,
that's awesome.
I'm going to choose like to like somebody else over myself.
Yeah. That's such a big deal. Like,
you can sorry, I was just thinking, like, I never want to go to the handicapped restroom because it's always taller. And so, and since I'm shorter, I'm like, I ain't going to that one. So,
yeah. Now you have to.
But I think, I don't know, the lesson from that, I guess, is like it differs from person to person. Like what is a work, what takes effort for you to be humble isn't necessarily the same that like takes effort for me to be humble.
Yes.
And it really is like this personal thing that you can't say, you know, it's the same thing across the board.
Right.
Because for some people, it's like, like just watching my dad like grow up, like I didn't watch my dad grow up. When I was growing up, when I was watching my dad, he served like crazy. And so it's not necessarily like what is easy for me to do. Easy. It is, some things are easy for me to do because
natural.
Like,
Right.
I learned it growing up as a kid because I saw my dad serve. Some of those same things may not be as easy or natural or like take as less willful humility for someone else to do because they didn't have the example I had.
Right.
And it like takes more work for someone else. But for me, if like some of this stuff is like more natural to do, or it's like in my character now because I saw my dad doing it growing up and I chose to do it the same way. I've got to find those things that may take more work for me to do that might be easier for someone else to do. Because it's, I feel like it's not just about like, how like Carly is served if I humble myself and do something for her. It's like the effect that choosing that has on me as a person. Like I learn humility when I choose humility. And that's like, I think maybe the bigger impact, you know, that humility has, than just like, kind of like love finds a need in me.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, like
yeah.
I have to, that the impact that, me looking for a need in my friends' lives and meeting that has on me learning to be unselfish right, is
yeah.
huge.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's the key, learning to be unselfish. Cause
yeah.
you could, I don't know. I've had experiences. I've had friends who are, like they're always like the, have y'all ever had this, like, it seemed like it was really popular in high school, like the one guy or one girl who like everyone would go to for advice. Like, did y'all have, were y'all that person?
Yeah, or
like, do y'all know who I'm talking
probably
about? Okay. Everybody seems like they had that, like, oh man, like, and they'd always be like, everyone always comes to me for advice. Like, yeah. It's so annoying. I'm like, why did they, like, and I'd always be like, why did they come to you for advice? Like, it doesn't make any sense. But I think that's like, kind of a normal attribute. Like, I don't know. It seems like if you're willing to give advice, like, then other people are going to ask for it. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. I don't know. So, it seems like that it has to have it. Humility must do two things. It must be, growing in unselfishness, like you said, and it must be God-centered. It can't be either. It can't be anything else, because truly, did we talk about, why do I do the things I do and who do I do them for?
I don't know.
Okay. So there's this thing like motive, right? I could give you, your birthday's coming up. So that's exciting. Actually, really soon, maybe when this comes out. So happy birthday. So your birthday's coming up and I'm like thinking, okay, I know Grace loves this. I'm going to get her this thing and it's going to be awesome. Two things that could happen, or actually let's say, and you know the same thing. Okay. And you get her the same thing, right? But you are much more godly than I, and you give it to her because you love her and because you know that it will make her, you're putting her happiness above your happiness. You're esteeming her, right? And then I'm a dirtbag and I just want Grace to give me a birthday present on August 25th that I really like, right? Same action outwardly, same intent, same reception. She's happy. She's, you know, like smiles the biggest, like everything. Joy comes to Grace through both gifts. Right now you're out of the picture. You're very happy. You're playing. You're like doing your thing. Playing. You know,
it was like two stuffed animals.
Yeah. But they're the same. This one's the evil clone and this one's the good one. So focus on you. Your gift was a humble gift because it was done unselfishly and it was done through love and through saying, your happiness is more important than my happiness. Same thing I did, but on my end, I was not humble. And I think that's important. Like, it's not about the action. It's not about, it comes down, and we say this is like, it's kind of, I don't know, like a song. Why do I do the things I do and who do I do them for? Why do I do the things I do and who do I do them for? And that makes all the difference in the world, because what you're doing is growing in unselfishness when you give her that gift. And what I'm doing is feeding my flesh and becoming more selfish. And it better be a good present. You better spend more than I spent on you. You know, like, and that's not friend. We don't have friendship. I'm not pleasing God. He's actually disgraced at what I've done. And he's proud of you. And he's like very happy and smiling at what you've done. And he's very sad and hurt by what I've done, even though it's the exact same thing. And I think that matters, because today it is all, you know, you hear this idea of like virtue signaling, like, oh, I can't do anything good anonymously. It must be seen, right? Or the reason I did that action was because I'm better than all these people. You know what I'm saying? And man, that is wicked. Everyone kind of agrees that that's wicked, but it still happens. And just because it's not seen as a, I mean, let's be real, prideful, selfish thing, the action really doesn't matter. Like I could get you a crappy gift, and if it's humble and you're humble, you would love it, you know, like really. And so I think that is like a big, big purpose of what you said. We have to grow in unselfishness because it's not about just buying someone something. It's not about saying I prefer you over me. I have to live that. And yeah, discipline sometimes means doing something until it's real, right? Like, yeah. I mean, that is literally kind of a definition of discipline, is just keep doing it until it's real in your heart. Yeah. Keep doing it until it sticks. And yeah, I don't want anybody to shy away from trying to be humble because that seems prideful. It's like, what? You're trying to be humble. That's awesome.
Yeah. But I think like it, what the story you just told kind of made me think about, or another story where, so one of my friends from Sam Houston, Stephen Krall, he's amazing.
He is.
He was telling me, we did the internship together with Kai Alpha down at Sam Houston, and I talked to him like over the summer and just, you know, married with a couple kids, and, he was telling me like, hey man, like what you been up to like the last few years, like how you been? I haven't talked to him in a while. And long story short, he said that at one point he was actually CEO of a company. And I was like, what? And he said,
casually.
Yeah. Cause he's awesome, but not someone that you would think. Like, he's like, kind of like a hooligan. Like, you know, he's so much fun. Love him to death. Like, such a godly guy. But I wouldn't see him being a CEO of a company. I wouldn't necessarily see him wanting to be a CEO of a company. But he got there. And this is how it happened. He said that basically when he was working for this company, his boss or like the owner of the company pulled him inside and said, hey, Steven, I want you to be the CEO of this company because I can trust you. Huh. And the reason the owner of this company saw that like Steven wasn't like trying to claw his way to the top and had his own interests in front of the interests of like the company or his other coworkers. He was like a servant. He was like willingly and like humbly like serving his boss.
Yeah.
And so his owner, I don't think the owner of this company was a Christian. So this like non-Christian guy saw humility in Stephen, and appointed him CEO of this company. And so it was just crazy. Like, I don't know, you know, Jesus says, he who humbles himself will be exalted.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And like, even the world can see that. Like outside of the church, this is a reality.
Yeah, that's right.
And you may not get there as fast or in the way that, you know, is cool or whatever. You're going to have to serve a ton. But like you can do that unselfishly. And like, man, with Stephen and like other examples like Joseph, Daniel in the Bible, these guys like were seen as like people who could be trusted and help run empires, which is crazy. And
like wicked empires,
right? Not
like, oh,
yeah,
we
worldly
love God.
Empires,
yeah, right. Like killing babies and all that kind of stuff. Yeah,
like worshiping,
America,
pagans, and just crazy. And so it's just cool, like thinking about like Stephen's story and like, and these other guys like in the Bible, like humbling yourself really is. Mm-hmm. It's seen by the world too.
Yeah.
You know, it's not
that's
just
right.
Like, oh, the Bible says so you should do it. Mm-hmm. Like other people see it and like value it as well.
Yeah. It's cool what you said, earlier, just about how, this really is like God's way. Both of y'all mentioned like, this is the way Jesus chose to do this because this is reality. And I mean, think about it. Like, this is the way to God's heart is a humble heart because I think if we live in fantasy land, we can't make it, you know, like we never will. We don't want it. If I live in fantasy land, I want God to be what I want God to be, not who he actually is. But if I live in like reality, then And, you know, that leads to a lot of really not nice stuff. Like, you get really stressed out. You deal with, like, depression when you live in fantasy land. But, like, when you see reality, you're going to be like, oh, okay. Like, yeah. You have just a clearer heart, like, a clearer mind. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. You said this the other day. But, like, when... I think just going back to Philippians 2, like verse 4, I think it is where it says, each of you should not look only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. That is like when everyone is doing that, everyone is taken care of. And I think like the world tries to mimic that. It's called socialism, but it's not done in generosity. It's done being forced. Mm-hmm. No one wants to be forced to do it. But if you had a community where everyone was putting each other's interests over each other's, then people who were nurses would be able to take care of people like for free. You know, that's the government calls that Medicare. You know, if people were in need of money, you know, or services, then the church can supply for that. And that's called whatever it's called.
Supply.
government supply. You know, like they try, you know, there's all these things that the government is trying to like replicate from like a worldly point of view. And really it's just, man, if you had a ton of people who like were willing and wanting to put others' needs above their own, then everyone would be taken care of. And that's, I don't know, I think Jesus was onto something when he like modeled that and like taught that. Of putting others' interests in front of your own. Like it really is the best way to live, the best way to be like Jesus. And within community, you're like, everyone's taken care of.
That's good. Cool. Well, do y'all have any final things that you want to share with us before we finish?
Look to me. I don't know. I feel like everyone summed it up really well. But what you two said towards the end, like, why do you do what you do and what do you do it for? And like, everyone has to be a part of the community. Yeah. It reminded me of when Paul's like, if I do this and this and this, but I don't do it with love, what's the point?
Right.
So it's like, I feel like humility and love kind of go together. And through humility, you see the love of God. And through the love of God, you see humility. Yeah. It's like a cycle. True. And then the more you grow in humility, like, it's just keeps rolling.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, something like I was still thinking about is when you talked about the example of course, giving me gifts, which is awesome. Totally. Which
we should practice.
Always. But like in that, like it would be like bring joy to me. Mm-hmm. But like when we give like an example of like her giving out of like humility, like that brings joy to like the Lord and like what we're made for is to glorify God and not like ourselves or like other people. And so like when we live humbly, we're like living like the way we were intended to.
That's
like,
so good.
Like that's, that's just so cool. Like the Lord intended for us to like be humble and he like made us for that. So like that is like where real health comes from.
Right on. That's good. Cool. Well, thank you guys for being with us. It was awesome. Don't forget to like and subscribe. And have a great small group.